Jim Fink from Business First with us on this morning's Press Pass. And Jim, of course, coming off the weekend with some disappointing news for Buffalo Bills fans, the Bills opting not to lift the blackout policy, the current blackout policy that requires them to have a total capacity sold for local games. The league, of course, opting to allow teams to go to 85% capacity. You had some conversations with Russ Brandon about this. Give us the rationale behind his decision, because obviously it's not going over real well with Bills fans.
No, I mean, the Bills know that there's going to be some negative pushback. But you have to look at it from this side. Unlike the Dallas Cowboys or the Washington Redskins, the Buffalo Bills derive a large chunk of their revenues from ticket sales. And if they opted into the new blackout rules, it probably, in all likelihood, would have cut into their revenues. They're a business. I mean, people have to remember the Buffalo Bills are a privately held business. While they're in the entertainment, they're there to entertain us and occupy our minds. They're also there to make money. You know, they're not a municipal agency. They're not a not-for-profit. They have every right, in my opinion, to try to garner as much revenue as they need to garner. Their fear, and rightfully so, is that if they opted into the program, that there would have been potentially a drop-off in ticket sales and season ticket sales. And Russ Brandon pointed out, of the six out of the last seven games that were blacked out, they sold less tickets than below the threshold anyway, so those games would have been blacked out one way or the other. You know, like the Denver game last year on Christmas Eve, there was 42,000 people there roughly in the stadium. So there's no way they would have been anywhere near the 60,000 ticket sold threshold to lift the blackout.
All right. They are a privately held business. There's no doubt about that. There is, of course, the fact that they do use a publicly financed facility at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And one of the other things that Bills fans are watching very closely and with some trepidation are the lease negotiations. What about those?
They're ongoing, depending on if you're Jeff Lippman talking on behalf of the Buffalo Bills or you're Mark Poloncarz or folks at Nixon Peabody talking on behalf of the Erie County as to how far the negotiations are. From sources I've talked to, they do have a basic framework. I have every confidence that there will be probably a 10 or 15 year lease put together. I don't know if they'll get it by the start of training camp, but by the end of this year I'd be shocked if they don't have a new lease in hand.
From the suburbs, let's go to downtown and some happenings in downtown Buffalo. A word for those who had a chance to taste this particular venture in Syracuse and in Rochester, Dinosaur Barbecue in downtown Buffalo. Tell us about that.
10 years ago, we wouldn't be having this discussion, but downtown Buffalo has evolved. There are more people living in downtown Buffalo than there were in any time in the recent past, and there's still more people coming into downtown Buffalo, which has attracted the eye of Dinosaur Barbecue, and that's one of the reasons why Mighty Taco finally opened on Chippewa Street the other day, is because there is enough critical mass in downtown that it makes sense for places like the Dinosaur or Mighty Taco to finally be there. Dinosaur is very, very, very close to signing a deal. Don't be surprised to see them go somewhere near the Canalside District or perhaps maybe even a little bit closer to the Niagara Square area. But I tend to think, from what I'm told, it'll be closer to Canalside.
A new build or something that's already on hand?
That's one of the issues that's being bounced back and forth. There are options. One option clearly is to go into the one Canalside building, which is being the former Donovan State Office Building, which is being redeveloped right now by Benderson, is a Courtyards Hotel and also the soon-to-be new corporate headquarters for the Phillips Lytle Law Firm. So that's one possibility, although Dinosaur tends to want the older, sort of funkier building, and there's certainly plenty of those in the Cobblestone District and in downtown Buffalo, they have their options they can choose from.
Yeah, there's no shortage when it comes to older buildings in downtown Buffalo. A lot of the developers, of course, are watching and waiting to see if Governor Cuomo will, in fact, sign legislation that will increase that historic tax credit that's been used by developers to renovate and do some really wondrous work with some of these downtown buildings. What about that? If that were to pass, will we see more activity on that front?
Yes, and it's a matter of when, not if. With this summer break, my guess is that Governor Cuomo will sign off on that well before Labor Day. That will kickstart. We saw with the first wave with the adaptive reuse, the historic tax credit program, that gave Rocco Termini the financial backing that he needed to bring the Hotel Lafayette back to life. I think as soon as the governor signs the new bill, which would bring it up to a $12 million historic tax credit exemption, you'll see the A's building take hold. And there's a couple other buildings that are also in the pipeline that are just waiting for that. Clint Brown is talking about a building in the old First War at the Cooperage. He's waiting for that. He's waiting for the new tax credit so he can convert that into apartments and a restaurant on the first floor. So there's a few buildings. They're just sort of hovering, waiting, and I think as soon as the governor signs this bill, you're going to see a lot of activity towards that end.
Well, Jim Fink, as always, thanks very much for your help on this morning's Press Pass.
No problem. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.